Hey there, and welcome. I'm your host, Regina Topolson, registered dietitian, plant-based foodie, amateur athlete, mom of teenage boys and one lucky girl, cancer survivor, and host of the Life Well Lived podcast. Living through cancer seemed like the hard part until I had to learn how to live after. We all want to feel healthy and safe and know that our life has meaning and purpose. If you're a patient, survivor, or caretaker, this is the place to find hope and inspiration through life's great disruptor and learn to live more fully today. My guests today are two sisters who started a clean makeup company after one of them was diagnosed with breast cancer. Theirs is a story of sisterly love, purpose, self-care, and finding beauty in unexpected places. With me today, I have Leah and Sarah Kelly from Salty Girl Beauty. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You guys are too cute. I'm doing great. Thank you. So today, obviously, from the name Salty Girl Beauty, you guys run a makeup company. So we're going to be talking about beauty this morning, which I'm so excited about. So the first question is for Leah. How did you decide that you wanted to be an oncology nurse? And how long had you been one before Sarah found out that she had breast cancer?
So I've been an oncology nurse for about, 11 years or so. And honestly, it was during my nursing rotation on the acute care setting. And I was placed on the inpatient oncology floor. And I absolutely just fell in love with my patients. I love building relationships with people and getting to know them more. And I find that with inpatient oncology, they're usually there for quite some time with their treatments, maybe even up to 3 weeks, even up to a month. So I was really able to get to know them, their family. And that's honestly what I love about nursing is just really supporting my patients. And then, so I was inpatient at Maine Medical Center in Maine. And then I went over and did outpatient. So I was there for maybe a year and a half when Sarah called me and told me she was heading to her OB appointment. She was 32 weeks pregnant and she felt a lump in her breast. And she was concerned, wondering if it was me, what I would do. And I still remember walking into the break room, I was about to have lunch and my coworkers, the look on my face, they knew it wasn't good. And so I just said, you should get an ultrasound. And I hung up the phone and my colleagues were like, what's going on? It's actually really funny. I was just having lunch with a bunch of my coworkers and Sarah's about to celebrate her 5-year anniversary. So I was just telling them that, and we were all reminiscing about that day when I got the call. It's crazy how, those people really got you through hard times, how colleagues can help you. So yeah.
Yeah. Super important. My colleagues were also instrumental. I was working at a hospital as a dietitian on the ICU at the time, so I can totally relate.
Yeah.
So Sarah, you learned that you had breast cancer because you had a lump that you found when you were pregnant?
Yeah.
How did that go?
So I mean, for about probably a week or two before I said it out loud, my arm was brushing up against my breast and it hurt. And so then I Google it and it said, if it hurts, not breast cancer. So I was like, oh, I'm sure it's nothing. I'm sure it's my breasts. And this was my second child. I had a 14-month-old at the time as well. So I was like, I'm sure it's my breasts getting ready for breastfeeding. And, there's so many changes happening in your body at those last couple of weeks of pregnancy. And so I kind of chalked it up to that. I had an OB appointment that afternoon because at that point I was seeing my doctor every 2 weeks for my pregnancy. So that afternoon I went in and I mentioned it to her and she felt it and she was like, I'm sure it's nothing, but I think we should go get an ultrasound. So she scheduled that ultrasound that next day. They saw the ultrasound. It was a big, like, dense mass. And they were like, we should do a biopsy. So I had a biopsy scheduled for that next day, which was Thursday. And between Wednesday and Thursday, you know, I'm feeling up my entire body like, oh my God, what is going on? What else is here? And in that time, I also felt a lump in my armpit. And so when I went in for my biopsy, they were able to take biopsy from both my breast tissue and my lymph nodes. Like, you remember that, like,
Whirlwind.
I was just like, I was a mess. And I went up to Maine with my mom and my husband came up the next morning and we waited. My whole family was there the whole day. We waited for my doctor to call.
We were all watching the Hunger Games.
What an awful movie to be watching at the time. And then the doctor called and I remember sitting at the kitchen table at my parents' house and at the time they didn't know exactly what kind it was because I ended up being diagnosed with stage 3 triple negative breast cancer, but she said you definitely have breast cancer. My tumor ended up being too big for surgery first. And when you're pregnant, you can start chemo. So they started me on and I did 2 rounds of that. And then they ended up inducing me for my daughter. So I had Anna, my daughter, who's now 5, on Monday. And then on Friday, I had my 3rd round of chemo. So I call that my warrior week. In between that, I had a couple blood transfusions and then I just went on. I finished chemo. I had a lumpectomy and a lymph node dissection and had 6 weeks of radiation. And that was in 2015.
And here we are.
Yeah, we are. So tell me what life was like prior to the cancer. I mean, you mentioned that you already had a 14-month-old, but how important was self-care for you?
I did not take care of myself very well, I realized. I thought I did. I mean, I was always someone that worked out. I was doing push-ups at my gym at 9 months pregnant with my son. I was probably in the best shape of my life after he was born. I was the lowest I had ever weighed. And then I got pregnant with Anna, but I also worked in corporate America. I was in corporate marketing. I have my MBA. So like climbing the ladder was really important to me. And I worked a lot and I worked really hard and I don't think I had much balance in my life. And I also think it was a very stressful job. And I think stress has a big impact on your overall wellness and created a lot of tension in my body overall. So I didn't at the time. Also, you have a 14-month-old. We'd gotten married about 5 months before my diagnosis. I was pregnant again. We were moving from our apartment in Boston to my in-laws so that we could finish saving for a house. There was just like,
you didn't have anything going on.
Didn't have anything going on. So I don't really understand what the stress was that I was feeling, but I mean, that all plays such a role in your body. And I think while I was going through treatment and understanding what like fed my desires, my creativity, what I wanted to be when I grew up was always having my own company. And what we're doing now, Leah and I, what we're creating, it's stressful. Don't get me wrong. We have a small business during COVID, a beauty business, no less. But it's a different kind of stress.
Hey, I was just going to say it's different.
Yeah, it's a stress I can control. It's a stress that I love. And so it's very different than working for somebody else in corporate America. So, and our philosophy is about taking care of yourself and being well and being the best version of yourself. And we really try, I mean, I need reminders sometimes, but we really try to live that philosophy ourselves.
I think that's a great philosophy. And it segues like perfectly into my next question, which is, what role did nutrition play both in just, you know, your daily lives and in your recovery?
I mean, I want to say it played, and I've always been very conscious about what I've eaten, and nutrition was important during, while I was in. My mom and dad both were so cute while I was going through treatment, and the Cancer Fighting Kitchen was one of like the biggest, like I still use that cookbook all the time. Yeah. That Mediterranean lentil soup that, or lentil salad that's in there is like the best thing on earth. But like they would make big batches of that for me, and like bone broths and asparagus soups, and I like the stuff I have had in my freezer at the time was amazing. So I mean, really making sure that you are feeding your body during chemo,
nourishing your body
was super important. And I think I was very healthy, like relatively speaking, during that time, because you are taking care of yourself, and I had having the support that helps you during that time is so important too. So I just had a baby, so I had so many people coming and helping me with the kids so I could rest, cooking meals for us.
I find that that's a two-way sword. Leah, I was going to ask you too, you know, like how do you take care of yourself knowing like the patients that you take care of, and in terms of, you know, how do you feed yourself? But I just want to say too that it's like, I remember from like when people were bringing me meals, that it was a kind of a two-way sword, in the sense that like you were grateful that you had so much support and love and that people wanted to bring you stuff. But at the same time, it wasn't always the healthy and nourishing and healthful. So
no, I remember one someone brought over a lasagna, and my mom's Italian and makes the best like Italian food. So like, you just don't bring me a lasagna.
And at that time, I compete with your mom's.
And also like, I just couldn't eat that then either. Like it was a time that I was having a really hard time eating. And so I appreciated it because I was living with my in-laws. So it was food for them as well. They were dealing with their wife going through this, you know? And so it was food for them. It was food for my husband. It was food for my kids. So that's the part. You're, as a woman too, I think, in it for me, someone that's always in control of things, letting people help was really a struggle for me while I was going through treatment. I'm going to start crying right now because my mother-in-law is actually upstairs watching my son right now. Mm-hmm. And so being able to like let people come into my sphere and me giving up some of that control of how I want to raise my children, what I want to eat, what I want to do with my time, refusing to sleep when I probably should be sleeping because I need to be on, was a struggle for me, but also a reminder of like, back off, do what you need to do for yourself and let people help you. And so in that way, I mean, people bringing over food was nice because it was a nice way for me, not to myself, having to take care of everyone around me that I was kind of used to, and letting somebody else do some of that and me just focusing on myself when I needed.
There's a lot of letting go that happens during that treatment process.
Yeah.
But Leah, how did you eat and take care of yourself before this all happened? Because you were already working the field and seeing it. And then has anything changed for you after?
Honestly, I think nutrition, I mean, that can be a separate podcast. I feel like we could talk so much about nutrition. I personally eat just a whole foods based diet. I do eat meat. My body needs meat. I've tried to do the whole vegetarian, vegan, only paleo. I'm also a big runner. So I feel like I've done it all. So now at 35, I can confidently say this is what I need to fuel my body. I also see when women especially get diagnosed with cancer, nutrition and their environment is what they do have control over, and they want to pinpoint why they got cancer. So those are the two things I feel like that they want to drastically change. As a nurse and what I tell my patients, I try not to say you're eating meat, okay, and they want to go vegan or they think that that's the answer to go vegan, or if they're vegan, God, I need to add the meat portion in. I think we stress a lot about the nutrition when you're first diagnosed, and there's so much stressors already in your life that that can actually build upon your stress. I also feel like when people switch diets, they become extremely anemic for certain reasons. And I think with chemotherapy, you become anemic. So I think with physicians I work with and nurses, I don't think we really tell them to do certain diets. I think it's what is making you feel best right now, because we've got to get you through this treatment. And I have said for some people, if you wake up and you want ice cream or if you want pizza, you eat the pizza and ice cream because those are calories. So it kind of depends when you say, what do you tell your patients? It depends where they are in their journey. And if they're in survivorship post-treatment,
That's a different conversation.
So different than if you're first diagnosed and now I'm hitting you up with severe, really harsh chemicals. But for me personally, I love food. I mean, like what Sarah said, we grew up in an Italian family, so I love cooking. I love different recipes. I think I try to eat for fuel, but I try to make that fuel good food.
Yeah, that's good. That's important. So you both run marathons? Or just...
Yep. I'm getting back into running after many years of not, but I have run a marathon, and Leah is a very active... Like, what'd you run this morning?
Well, I was going to run an Ironman, a half Ironman in August, but it was just canceled. So I'll be doing my fourth marathon in October.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'll do my virtual marathon, but... Yeah. I mean, but that's my therapy. I wake up at 5 a.m. and I go for my hour and 20 minute run and I get back, and sometimes my husband and daughter are still sleeping, and it's like the most beautiful sound when you walk into a quiet house and you've already got your run done with.
Girl, I totally get you, because my therapy is my bicycle. So
yes.
Yeah, I totally get that same feeling. So how did you guys get the idea for Salty Girl Beauty?
Well, forever, I've always talked about owning my own company. So I was leaving work anyway for my maternity leave. So I ended up left a little bit earlier because of chemo started. And I was just, as I'm going through chemo and now having two kids, I was kind of trying to think of, do I want to go back to where I have been for the last couple of years? Is that the life I want to be living? Is that the stress I want to be dealing with? And so for me internally, I was going through a lot of brainstorming and thinking and reevaluating and what I want life to look like after cancer. And for me, I really wanted it to be my own, something I'm creating, something also a way to give back. So my early career was at Toms of Maine and Dancing Deer Baking Company, which is that whole company that sells at Whole Foods, and companies that really had a social driven mission and gave back. And then I got my MBA and I had to pay my student loans. And so I started working more in corporate America with like cybersecurity stuff. And that is just not, it didn't feed my soul at all. And so it gave me the time to kind of think. And so Lee and I had a couple different ideas, where sustainability was definitely a big piece of where we wanted to go in. And I think the biggest aha moment though was looking at what our cosmetics were filled with. And like Leah said, when you're going through treatment, there's two major areas where a lot of women go to because they can seek control from that. And one is kind of, what are we putting on our body? And the other is what we're putting in our body. And so what we were putting on our body was, because of my background working at Tom's, that was something that I had already been very well aware of. I did sales for them for several years. And so I knew about some of the ingredients when you're talking about toothpaste and deodorant and that kind of stuff. And so we started looking at more of the cosmetic side of thing. And because So there was this one day that I had lost my hair at this point. I had lost my eyebrows and my eyelashes, and I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I was like, wow, like I'm one of the sick people. Like I hadn't kind of connected that I was, when you're in the chemo treatment room and you're looking around being like, wow, that person's really sick. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, you look just like them. Like, who are you kidding? And so it was kind of like a low moment in how I was feeling and my overall wellness. And not only that, I just had a baby. And so like your body's not like the best either. And so there's just all of that. And I think Leah as a sister kind of knew where I was at in my journey. And she came over with this lipstick one day, and I was not a wig person. I just couldn't pull it off. And so I had this scarf on and I put this lipstick on, and it was a bright lipstick, which I'm not a bright person, but it just was something I needed at that time. And I remember putting on, then we went out, I put some sunglasses on, and I like looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, oh my God, like there she is. Although it's not the same person that I was a couple months ago, it's still like the person I am right now, you know, but I can live with this person. Like I feel a little bit like myself. And so that's that kind of the feeling I got, and Leah's recognition of that, and the research we had done and ingredients kind of led us down a road. Like, and then she went to this conference and it was all about like wellness and sustainability and beauty in the beauty and wellness industry. And she was like, she came back being like, we should really look into like body care and beauty products and that kind of thing. Like that's where I think we should go with this.
And we grew up too with a mother who would never leave the house without a lipstick.
Yeah.
So I mean, that too. I remember when I was young and my two older sisters, they could wear makeup, but I couldn't. And I remember that day when my mom finally said, okay, you can wear a lipstick. Like that was like, oh my gosh. It was like, I can finally shave my head.
How old were you when that happened?
Probably early teenager.
Yeah. I would say like, yeah. But it was always such a big deal in my family to do anything.
Yeah. Right? Like we couldn't shave our legs until we were in seventh grade. Yeah. And like, you know, like.
And that was so horrible. Can you imagine like going to gym class? Like I still remember the day going to gym class in my gym shorts and everybody snickering like, hey, did you see the link?
Like it was like a, we would like celebrate that night when we each shaved our legs. Yeah. Like my mom. So like now you're a big girl.
And seriously, I think that the day that I shaved my legs was like bigger in my mind than the day that I had a period, right? Okay. Yeah. Get that out there.
Yeah. So yeah. So where was I going?
Yeah, just makeup and
makeup. Yes. Yeah, so
yeah, so that's we started going down that route and here we are.
Okay. Yeah. And so tell me, so your background is Italian and is there something else? Just Italian?
No, my mom's 100% Italian. And then my dad's like a mixture of English. We just found out he's part, like there's some Irish with the DNA tests. My grandfather was adopted, so we never knew what nationality he was. He had been raised German, so that's what we said we were from the cultural perspective. But
the red hair is Italian.
Yeah,
my mom's not Irish.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Because I was going to say, like, so you know, people listening to the podcast, you know, can't see you, but you guys are pretty fair skinned and red hair, and your other sister as well.
She's brown hair. She looks like my dad. I have my dad's coloring. But it's funny. My grandmother was one of eight, and my great grandparents came over from Italy. But so they had eight children, and four of them are like dark skin, dark eyes, dark hair, and the other four were red hair, brown eyes, fair skinned. So there's like, I'm sure somewhere along the way, a boat stopped in Ireland and then came over to Sicily, which is where they lived. And, you know, and that's how we are where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those like untold stories that you can just imagine like what happened. What is it like for the two of you guys to work together? Because not, you know, just being sisters is one thing, but then being business partners is a whole different ball of wax.
You want to take this one?
Well, that's another loaded question.
Well, Well, let's unpack it.
We've got time. No, I think it's, you know, I look at it as a positive because I see other business partners and I couldn't imagine not being able to tell my sister, like, truly how I feel about certain things, knowing that my business is safe. We're still going to wake up to a business and probably in about 30 minutes when we cool down, we're going to go get lunch together. Like, it's, that is a peace of mind for me. When we continue working together, I think that we can be so honest and raw with each other and we know exactly what we're dealing with, even behind the scenes. She has three kids. She's got a husband. I've got a 2-year-old. Like we just know each other's lives so much. So we know when to back off and then when to be on each other. And I think that has made us, more, you know, I don't know. We call each other the boss ladies because I feel like that's kind of how we are with our lives and with our business and with each other too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think there's moments that I'm like, get her the F away from me. I can't see her face for a couple of hours, but I don't really mean that. Then I'm like, I'll be mad at her and we'll like go our separate ways because we need to cool down. And then I'll call her and be like, why aren't you calling me back? Like, I want to talk to you. So, or she's like getting incessant texts from me being like, are you okay? Are we okay? You know? So, I mean, we speak our mind. Sometimes there's heated moments, but I would say 80% of the time, like we're working towards the same goal. And I think right now, sometimes some of the challenges that we do face is more, I'm working on the business full time and Leah still is nursing part time. And so that can be hard because she's juggling a lot more, from that perspective. And so it can
be, but then there's different stressors. Cause then Sarah, I mean, she's holding the business together more so because I'm not always doing Salty Girl. So, you know, you can't say Leah's got it harder, Sarah's got it harder. We just, it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's our way. I think we've done a pretty good job recently, like just communicating with each other about what those,
yeah,
where we're at and when we're at those moments that we need a little, yeah, more support or need that person to back off a little bit and give us the space we need to get on the right page. So,
but I mean, don't have us fooled. There's been times when we would meet up and I honestly thought Salty Girl would be done. Like I thought we were going to throw in the towel and be like, we're done. Like I'm over it. Like, let's just stop it just because it gets to be a lot. But then we talk and we're like, no, we can do this. And that's, if anyone's listening to this and you own a business, like, you totally get it. And you're probably being like, oh my God, thank God. Yeah. They're just like me. So yeah, but
yeah.
Yeah. I think even if you're a solopreneur, sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, unless we have a good friend and she's a single person running her business and she's like, you're so lucky you have a partner. And I feel that way 99% of the time, but then I'll also call her when we're fighting and she's like, well, maybe I don't want a partner.
Another double-edged sword. Okay. So tell me what you strive for with Salty Girl, like in terms of, you know, natural, toxin-free. Why is that like so, so important for you both?
I mean, I personally think it's important because you can find effective, good ingredients without using things that are in question. So why go there? Mm-hmm. That's literally it. And stop. Yeah. I feel like sometimes people go into the bad ingredients a little bit more and we try to really stay away from that conversation, really focus on the good ingredients that can be used and why they're good. And so if there's alternatives that work just as well, we have the flexibility as a small company to be able, we're not a P&G that has these strict pricing needs and some of the stuff. Like I feel bad for them sometimes because the pricing is such a huge thing. So they're going for the cheapest thing that they possibly can get and they overlook some of the things. And maybe I shouldn't have said a brand in that example, but But we have that flexibility to be able to find innovative, new, natural, basic things from the earth, good oils that why do you need something else when this works really, really well for what you're trying to achieve and do? And so that's where we're
going. Do you strive to get like the labels that like it's vegan products or that it's cruelty free? Like talk about some of that stuff, like from an industry perspective and makeup. Cause I know when I go to look for my stuff, that is something that has become really important to me. And I don't know if it's, you know, just because of everything that I know with environmental toxins and how important toxins are and what we put on our bodies and the fact that women, before they even leave the house in the morning, have exposed themselves to 120 chemicals.
Right.
Maybe it's more now. I don't know. But not everybody looks for the clean brands. But so I love that you guys are doing that. And I just kind of want you to talk a little bit about like, so what's involved in getting your product to be designated as a clean brand?
I mean, so we're a small business, so we don't have any of like the certifications yet that acknowledge like some of those, yeah, organic certified. That's super expensive to go through some of that stuff. So we really focus, I mean, it's all about reading your labels. And I think that is number one, because people can say whatever they want on the front side of the label. They can put pictures of coconuts and mangoes, and it doesn't mean that that's necessarily, if you flip it over and you read it, that that's what's included. So really making sure that you're educating yourself on what. And people have, I always say, there's like a thermometer of like where you're comfortable and what is clean and green to you. So what is clean and green to somebody sitting next to me might not be the same as me. You know, like we're comfortable in going, and that's not wrong or bad. I mean, you have to be comfortable with what you're doing and the decisions that you're making. So Leah and I have really strived to use when possible that it's fair trade, it's organic, the ingredients are organic, they're sustainably harvested or produced, and they're natural. So trying to really stay away from synthetics as well. So we really we don't use any kind of synthetic fragrances. We use all essential oils in our products. We use organic oils and butters and things like that. And so that's where we are. So our products are made with ingredients that are organic, are gluten-free, are cruelty-free, but we don't necessarily hold any of those certifications.
So you mentioned, you know, your ethnic background. Where do you find beauty? Where do you find inspiration for beauty?
Oh, good question.
I mean, for me, I find beauty like playing with my, like being with my kids, and I, more importantly, seeing my kids with my parents, like seeing that generation coming together, those generations coming together and the relationships that they have is super inspiring to me. And I think it's beautiful. I don't think you can ask for anything more than that. And then just, we live in Maine, which I think is one of the most beautiful places. I mean, outside Colorado, which is also, I love, one of, so beautiful there, but you got the mountains or the ocean, and the ocean is just brings so much. That's where I find faith. That's where I find my, I can go when I need some spirituality and just like kind of hone into what I need from a, just fulfillment, like trying to figure out, I need answers. You know, that's the place I always go to. It's 5 miles from my house. And so it's, that's super important and super beautiful for me.
Yeah. Well, ditto on Sarah.
I gave you the chance to go first.
But yeah, I thought for me, beauty, when I like look at people, I guess, you know, we are talking about cosmetics and stuff. But what I find beauty for me personally is a confident woman. I think social media is a great thing. I think people sometimes, you know, piss on Facebook and Instagram, but I find myself scrolling on Instagram and really finding, especially what's pertinent in my life right now is running. I run a lot and that brings me beauty within, but I love following athletes and women who are running other races and who are strong and they're pushing carriages because they just had a baby. Like, a confident woman is so beautiful. And I think why I love that is I grew up with two older sisters and a mom who are confident and we own what we got. And I think for me, like, that's what beauty is. I think just being happy. And I also find too, with being a nurse and taking care of people who die at a young age or being diagnosed with cancer, my life is beautiful. And I think every day that I'm able to wake up and I'm able to do the things I do, and I'm so thankful that I get to spread my joy and life with other people.
That's beautiful. How do you guys think that survivors are changing the face of beauty, and pun intended, but kind of unintended too?
Well, there's like people are surviving so on a much higher rate than they have before. And so those voices are now out there sharing their experiences and sharing what worked for them and what didn't work for them. So I feel like the survivor, especially via social media, is so loud now. They're raising money, they're raising awareness. They're helping women navigate their own journey when they're going through it. So I think it's a really important, it's also important, but there's so much responsibility in that if you take that on as your role. Because I was actually had this conversation with a friend this morning about an influencer, and I was like, I couldn't be that. I couldn't live in that space. Like, now, especially being 5 years out, to have to be talking about cancer on a daily basis all the time, it would be too much for me to kind of like hold on to. And I think maybe that's as you get further out, that's kind of like, it's part of my journey. It's definitely something I want to share. It's something I want to help women with, but I couldn't live it every single day. And even we have a nonprofit Foundation for Love. And when we first started it, Leah really runs the foundation because we were giving back to a lot of the people that we were giving experiences to and helping were young parents, like the same position I was in. And several of them didn't make it past their journey. And it was really hard for us because we're creating relationships with them and their families, giving back to them. And then they were passing away. And it was very emotional and overwhelming for me. And I was like, you got this, because I just can't. It's too close to home. So, I mean, I give the survivors are doing amazing work and they're sharing their experiences. They're sharing how their body has changed. And it's a, like Leah said, it's a thing of confidence to be able to, and I think it's a sense of empowerment to be able to go out there and do that as well.
Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to see there's a lot of 30-year-olds who have been diagnosed with cancer, especially breast cancer. And for a 30-year-old woman to lose her hair, her eyelashes, her eyebrows, her pubic hair, just think of like all that just being stripped away from you. And how beauty, it's so different from even when I was growing up. Beautiful men, long, curly, beautiful hair. But it's sometimes being bald and rocking it. And I think beauty is about your journey. I don't know. It's incredible when a woman comes in after she shaved her head. You know, 2 weeks prior, I saw her with a full head of hair, and then I see her bald, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you're going to kill me. because I have hair, so who am I to say you look beautiful bald? But you have the perfect shape head for being bald. She's like, really? Do you think this will look good? And then we have a whole conversation about hair. It's like, you know, and being bald. And but I think that's what they're going through, and it's beautiful. And yeah.
Yeah, it took me a while to own it. Just going back to that one thing you said about, you know, talking about cancer all day, every day. It took me a really, really long time to own it. And I'm just a little bit further ahead of you in terms of, you know, time out. But yeah, it was something that, you know, people had suggested to me, you know, friends had suggested, you know, hey, why don't you focus your business on, you know, cancer survivors and so forth. And I just could not figure out how I would talk to people with cancer, you know, even though I had been through it, you know, just having, it's kind of like a therapist, you know, when people come in and talk about their problems all the time, it's like, you've got problems of your own, right? So how do you handle that, right? So it took me a while to own the fact that, yes, I had cancer. Yes, I went bald. Yes, I lost my eyebrows and my eyelashes. Unfortunately, not all of my hair on my legs went away. So I was like, this is just, I got gypped, you know, it's all supposed to go away. It's interesting where we find beauty when the things that society tells us are beautiful are taken away from us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In your company, as you mentioned, you guys do give back a lot. So you started the Foundation of Love, which gave women going through treatment an opportunity to look better and feel better about themselves. So tell me more about that.
So yeah, so Foundation for Love is, we actually give back to men and women. And it really doesn't have anything to do with Salty Girl Beauty besides a percentage of our profits feed the foundation. So it's pretty separate. And what we do is you apply and we give experiences back to adults with cancer, or sometimes it could be their family. We do private chefs. We've brought in a private chef to cook for a family. We did Red Sox tickets with VIP batting practice. We've done
Patriots games.
We've done hotel stays, dinner nights out with their spouse,
spa with the sister, yeah, best friend.
So how do you fund that? So partially you're saying some of that funding comes from Salty Girl?
Yeah, so 10% of our profits goes to Foundation for Love. And then we normally host a big gala in June. That's our biggest fundraiser of the year. This year, Leah had a great idea of collaborating with a bunch of small businesses. So we created these love packages, and we're asking for donations from the community at the same time. So our goal was to raise $10,000, and then we bought $1,000 of product or gift cards from a bunch of the local small businesses. So we were supporting small business and raising money at the same time for Foundation for Love, and then giving these love packages that included gift cards from local restaurants or a pound of coffee, Salty Girl product, candles, ice cream, gift cards to local ice cream shops. And we were giving these love packages to patients at New England Cancer Specialists. So we gave back 100 boxes of product. So they were like we're really not able to do experiences right now because of COVID. So we're just trying to think of other things. And then.
So Foundation for Love is a nonprofit. Is that right?
Yeah.
And in August, so August 7th is my 5-year anniversary for cancer. So to celebrate in August, we're also doing a little fundraiser, a virtual 5K fundraiser.
It's Run for the Love of Hair.
We're not able to give as much experiences right now, so we're kind of pivoting with Foundation for Love a little bit. And we're going to be working with New England Cancer Specialists there, introducing the cold cap system to their patients. It's very expensive. It's not always covered by insurance. So Foundation for Love is going to be helping defray some of those costs. So anyway, we're working with them. We're still working through that process of partnering with them on that. But in the meantime, we're going to do a fundraiser, a virtual 5K that people can sign up for, and all that money will go back to that the Kohl's Cap program.
Cool. Congratulations on your 5 years.
Oh, thank you.
We also have another nonprofit. It's called Warrior Revolution. And we partnered with Violets Are Blue. She's a skincare line from New York City. Her name's Cynthia Besteman. And Warrior Revolution was built on 3 pillars. And our goal is to educate, build community, and pamper. So we provide mini workshops. We've done them with Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. We've worked with Dana-Farber. We've worked with the Dempsey Center in Maine. So we do mini 1.5-hour workshops, but then we also do a 3-day retreat annually. So we did our first one in New York City. We did our second one in Kennebunkport. And then we were supposed to go back to New Jersey this fall, but obviously that was canceled. So that 3-day retreat is really those 3 things that I said, the building education or education, building community, and pampering. So we did cocktail hour. We had 4 panels of nutrition, sexual health,
medical.
Yes.
Genetics.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
therapy.
We had yoga, we had Reiki, we had like a PJ pizza party that night for the women, gift bags. So it's just like a bunch of women. We had about 70 women come and participate in this 3-day retreat. And it was like I was never in a sorority, but if I imagined what a sorority would be like, it was Warrior Revolution.
Yeah, it was a bunch of women in like their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And a lot of them were in like towards the end of treatment or like just in survivorship. We also had a number of 30-year-old, 40-year-old women that were stage 4 there as well. So it was an interesting group of women, but almost everyone was a mom. And this was like their first time away, like with a bunch of other women going through the same thing that they were going through. So it was like this instant camaraderie and best friend like thing that was being created. And we started off that Friday night with this cocktail hour. So it was just like everyone like immediately fell in love with each other. Mm-hmm. And then that next day it was like yoga and crystal ball mm-hmm. meditation. So it like started off the day just like super zen. And then it just got more and more like education, fun. And it was awesome.
It was really cool. Amazing. Sounds amazing. When COVID is over, I think I'd like to participate.
Yes. So fun.
So what do you guys do to stay beautiful? Like, what's your routine? Take me through a day in the life of Leah and Sarah.
You want to go first?
Well, I wake up. Like I said earlier, I try to sneak out of the house and go for my run. I come home. I shower. That's interrupted by my 2.5-year-old wanting to now shower with me. It's like the worst thing ever. No, it's cute though.
Exercise is a big thing for you. What about in terms of like skincare?
Skincare, I do Violets Are Blue. She's my girl. I will always use her serum. It's amazing. It just like gives you that dewy look and it's really hydrating for your skin. So I actually put a little of that in my Salty Girl Beauty Foundation. I do my Melissa and Allie highlighter and blush from Salty Girl Beauty. I do a little Dotty lip gloss and I dry my hair and I'm done.
Okay.
I can literally get ready in 20 minutes and that includes my shower.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I take pride in that.
Good. That's like the fastest I've ever heard.
Yeah, we're probably the 2 least people you would think would have a cosmetic line. It sometimes shocks me at times as well. And that's why, like, our philosophy for Salty Girl is very much a minimalist, like, beauty routine, something that can get you out of the house in 20 minutes, 5 minutes being the makeup. So yeah, my day is very similar to Leah's. My two oldest are camping with my parents right now. So we only have our 2-year-old home with us, which is so nice. So it's been like a very chill morning lately, but wake up. I work out with a trainer in the morning, around 7, and then get the kids ready, and, I will shower, and my makeup routine is, I also use Violet Star Blue skincare. And then I do a facial every month. So I haven't during COVID, but that's one thing that I think has been really important as I'm aging into my 40s, doing that. And then my facialist gave me some stuff around my eyes. So I like to do that in the morning as well. And then Salty Girl foundation, a little bit of lip gloss, and a little bit of Lindsay multi-stick on my cheeks and on my eyes. And yeah, and that's about all I do in the morning as well. I will blow dry my hair and do a little straight iron curling some mornings. And then I normally head off to our office is about a mile from my house. So I normally end up over there most days. And then in the evenings, me and my kids, like, we'll do a lot outside, playing outside, chalk and that kind of thing. And that's just being able to have some of that time. Being able to have your own business allows me that time to be able to. And honestly, I got to say something, like, COVID has been awful, right? For many, many reasons. But if you have to look at any kind of positive, it's definitely made me slow down, given me that, like, kind of reminder to slow down and focus, because our kids grow up so fast. And especially my 2-year-old, me and him have just had a time that I think I've been so busy with Salty Girl since he's been born. And it's really given me that time with him to, like, focus and play and build a better relationship with him. So I've really been taking full advantage of that as business has a little bit slowed down a little bit, to really be able to focus with him and play with him and be with him. So
that is so true. Our kids do grow up so fast, and when they're young, they do keep us young too. They keep us moving. But I got to tell you, my kids now, I have two boys. One is 19 and one is 16. And sometimes I feel like I see them getting older, but I don't see or feel myself getting older. And so I just feel like, how is this possible? I feel like their older sister, you know, but yet they don't want to take me anywhere with them. You know, I'm not allowed to hang out with them and their friends.
It's so funny you say that. I went to the grocery store the other day, and, like, when I look in the mirror, like, obviously I know I'm in my 40s, but I still am like, I look pretty good. Like, I still think I look like I haven't aged that much, right? But you have your mask on, so they just see your eyes. And I bought some tequila because I have girlfriends coming over tomorrow night. And so she looks at me and, like, rings it up, and I was like, "Come on!" Like,
oh, you wanted her to charge you?
I guess we are.
That's funny. Well, one last question to kind of wrap it all up. What do you guys feel is a life well lived?
I mean, for me, a life well lived is basically the same things I said about what is beauty. So for me, life well lived is really having a close family around me, and love and happiness. Ultimately, that's a life well lived. And then, I mean, but I'd be lying if I didn't say the success of what we're doing here isn't something that I take a lot of pride in, and wouldn't be extremely, like, seeing the success of this would be, like, very, from a professional standpoint, a life well lived for me as well. Part of my legacy.
A life well lived for me is, I think, helping others and celebrating milestones. with them, and whether that be your family or for me, my patients, happiness with my family, and living in the moment. And not, it's so easy to come for me. I sometimes compare myself to so many other women, especially being in a beauty company and it being filled with so many, fake people. And I always have to take a step back and be like, I have a great life. I need to not judge like where I am in my life or compare myself, and just being happy and just being in the moment and just celebrating me waking up every day. I mean, it's simple, just celebrating life. It's, I don't know. Well, Sarah and I are really, really blessed and lucky to be in a family that's been so supportive. Whether it be our parents and now our husbands, and now to have a career like Salty Girl Beauty. It's pretty incredible.
It is. I agree. Well, thank you guys. That was awesome. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you
for having us on.
Yeah, such a nice honor.
Well, and I wish you all the success with Salty Girl Beauty. And like I said, if that thing in New York ever happens again, that retreat, I want to be a part of it. So let me know.
Yeah, definitely. Yes,
definitely. Great. Have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you.
I hope you've laughed. I hope you've learned. I send you healing strength, and I'm grateful for you. You've been listening to the Life Well Lived podcast. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and share it with your friends so they can benefit too. Check out the show notes so you can connect with me on social media. Peace and love. Until next time.